The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation. The following program is sponsored. The opinions and statements made by the hosts and guests do not necessarily reflect the views of WBOB or its parent company, the Chesapeake Portsmouth Broadcasting Corporation.
1.7 billion were there for his birth. 220 countries tuned in for his first step.
Woohoo!
The world stood still for that stolen kiss. And as he grew, so did the technology. Broadcast live and unedited to an audience around the globe.
Cool, man.
Coming to you now, enclosed in the largest studio ever constructed, and along with the Great Wall of China, one of only two man-made structures visible from space. Now, it's...
I'm speaking plainly with Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome to another edition of I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay. Joining me in the studio tonight is Congressman John Rutherford and City Councilwoman Anna Brochet. We've got a great show planned for you this evening. Of course, as ever, Holly, my producer, is here thumbing away at the keys, trying to come up with snarky comments to ruin my entire evening like she does on so many occasions. And, of course, Tom's over in Master Control, pushing all the buttons and sliding all the slides to make us sound good. Phone lines are open. 222-TALK, 222-8255. Congressman, right off the bat, welcome to the studio again for probably the eighth or ninth time on the show.
Thank you, Bill. It's always good to be with you, buddy.
It is absolutely.
And you, Holly, as well.
Thank you.
You had to throw that in. Otherwise, she like goes out and slices your tires.
Exactly.
Yeah. So I'm going to do kind of a – today it's kind of a community thing. We've got Councilwoman Brochet here with us too. And we're living in an interesting time. It seems like every time you come in the studio – unfortunately, it's gotten a little bit worse each time that you come back. Not because of you, obviously, but because of our culture in general is falling apart. Have you gotten a chance to catch any of the confirmation hearings for Judge Kavanaugh?
You know, this week was so busy in D.C., I actually only caught bits and pieces of it.
It's been pretty rough.
Yeah.
I have no doubt in my mind we have the votes. He could be confirmed right off the bat. This is basically just a... dragging their feet and delaying and as much as they possibly can. But what gets me is the nature of the vitriol between grown adult human beings that are supposed to be there to have a common purpose. And I think, would you agree with me that the United States is becoming more and more partisan by the minute?
Absolutely. And I think, I'm doing what I can, at least in the D.C. Environment, To try and build some bridges across the aisle with my colleagues, in the House.
It's hard to phrase this. It seems like even when you have a good idea, that because you have an R behind your name and you're affiliated with the Trump administration because of that R, that even if the idea is an excellent idea, it's still... pushed back.
Well, let me give you some encouragement. It's not all like that. For example, one of the things that I've worked hard at doing is every bill that I draft and introduce, the first thing that I do is I find a Democrat on the Committee of Jurisdiction and reach out and ask them to be my primary co-sponsor. I'll give you a great example. And I've had some really good success with this. And part of the reason for it is, number one, I want that bipartisan work on my bill. And so I have a Democrat across the aisle who's committed to it as well. So he's looking for co-sponsors. I'm on my side of the aisle looking for co-sponsors. And I'll give you a great example. In October, I believe it was October of 16, I started working on a school violence bill. And... got that language hammered out, worked with the Sandy Hook Promise Group. We got some language together that I thought was very good. We got that together by January. And so I reached out across the aisle to Ted Deutsch, who is on Judiciary with me, And I said, Ted, I want you to take a look at this. And, you know, I'd love for you to be my primary co-sponsor. He looked at it. He came back to me later and said, John, I love it. Put me on. And so on January 30th, I dropped that bill with Ted as my primary co-sponsor. And, of course, February 14th, we had the shooting at Marjorie Douglas High School in Parkland. Just so happened that was Ted Deutsch's district. Mm. I mean, it was almost providential. And so there is some bipartisan work that is going on. I'm also a member of, I wish it was a bigger committee, but we have a group. It's not really a committee. It's a group. It's a bipartisan working group. And we meet once a week, Republicans and Democrats. There's probably 40 members total at any particular meeting. There's probably 20 of us there. And that's been a good coming together. It's not all partisan, but it certainly is what you see in the media.
For the purpose of the listeners who don't live and breathe the politics like myself or you or Holly or others, go into detail. When you draft a bill, right, that's drafted by you or your people that work within your office, interns and others.
Yeah, we use a lot of resources.
And then someone proofs that. And then there's no headers. Now, this is, you correct me when I'm wrong, if I'm wrong. There's no headers on it at that point in time. And then you reach out, like you said you've done, to a Democratic co-sponsor.
Right.
If they agree, then you come back and you rewrite the header now with all the lists of co-sponsors and primary sponsors and co-sponsors.
They get added on,
right,
you know, throughout the
But
process.
The average bill, when we talk about some of the bills like appropriation bills and extensions and they're, you know, 6,000, 3,000 pages, 6,000 pages, the average bill isn't like that in Washington. Mm-hmm. The average bill is considerably smaller than that. And it is generally an easy read because you write them within your own offices.
Right.
And it is beneficial to be an active congressman, to produce bills and have those bills passed. If you produce 1,000 bills and none of them are approved, then you're not very good at producing bills.
Right. Exactly.
But it's not something, in my understanding, you don't have someone standing over you saying, hey, John Rutherford, you need to produce more bills.
No,
it's not like that.
No.
It comes from the heart. If you are moved by a particular
thing. Issues come to you. Like, you know, for example, the Stop School Violence Act of 2018. That grew out of my experience as a sheriff, obviously, in Duval County. And so I knew that there was something that I wanted to do on that. I had some very specific ideas. And so we worked with the committees, put that language together, worked with Sandy Hook Promise Group. And then we put that bill together. Now, oddly enough, you know, when that shooting occurred in Parkland, I you know, immediately the leadership is under barrage. You know, what are you going to do about this? What are you going to do about this? And they're like, we've got this bill, you know. And so the leadership immediately got behind it. The president got behind it. And that bill actually became law within about 2 months.
And does it still have your name on it?
Absolutely.
Congratulations.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Bringing it home
you.
For us here in Jacksonville.
Thank
Good
you. And that was a great success. And I've had a couple others dealing with VA issues that I learned about through Vets for Vets, which is a local
today.
Group here. I met with them today again because I get great ideas from them.
My buddy, one of the guys that I know from the airport, spoke today at Vets for Vet, and he is one of the youngest guys there. He's 27, Matt Kimball. Absolutely amazing young man. Goes to JU, studying in the flight program there. He was asked to speak, and he was asked to speak because he's one of the youngest folks that come out for that, and they're trying to attract a few more younger people. I'm going to go to break here for just a second, but I'm going to leave you with this because I'm going to draw Councilwoman Broche in on it. Let's roll back time. Let's put John Rutherford back in office as sheriff of Duval County. And let's talk about something that's near and dear to Councilwoman Broche's heart, and that is the crime problem here in Jacksonville. So when we get back from break, I want to get an idea of what you might do if you were still wearing the blue and gold. You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill. Hey, we're going to step away for a minute. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255. Congressman John Rutherford and Councilwoman Anna Brochet joining me in the studio tonight. When we get back, we're going to talk about some more things that are interesting to us here in the North Florida area, and that is the overrunning crime problem we have and the random shootings that are going on all over the city. This is I'm Speaking Plainly. Join us on the backside, won't you?
Does your roof need replacing, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, log on to home.servicemagic.com. Service Magic is a free online resource with instant access to pre-screened remodelers, maids, handymen, painters, and many other home contractors. It's easy and it's free. Just go to home.servicemagic.com. Home.servicemagic.com. That's home.servicemagic.com.
Hi, it's Mac with Baker Glass. If you're having trouble finding a clear option for that new shower enclosure or a replacement for that fog glass, then call the Baker Boys or find us at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better. Hi, this is Mac with Baker Glass, where we use our more than 32 years of experience to provide a complete glass service to all of our customers and a clear choice for you. See for yourself at BakerGlassInc.com. That's BakerGlassInc.com. Baker Glass, no one treats you better.
For more than 25 years, the potential for health improvement is seen with each patient that walks through our door. Healthcare decisions don't have to be confusing. Make Island Doctors your medical practice.
Now accepting traditional Medicare as well as Humana Gold Medicare Advantage Plan. Call Island Doctors toll free, 877-434-4676. That's 877-434-4676 for more information or to schedule a tour.
Transmission problems? Call Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where you get the work done right the first time by the experts. I'm Robin Sidbury, the owner. Our techs can service all makes and models, and we provide a nationwide warranty, so you have the peace of mind knowing we solve your transmission troubles fairly and honestly and guaranteed nationwide. Call us at Action Transmission Specialists on Merrill Road, where quality counts. Get traction. Call Action at 744-0755.
My name is Amanda, and I am in the Life Builders Recovery Program at City Rescue Mission. I've allowed alcohol to take my career, my family, and my faith from me. I was also sexually abused and became depressed, even suicidal. It was those suicidal thoughts that became my wake-up call. I was referred to CRM by another facility that told me I needed a longer-term recovery program. A God-centered program and the counselors at CRM have given me the freedom and the willingness to open up. I no longer see myself as an alcoholic. I see myself as a child of God. I know that I am worthy of love and that I can do all things through Christ. After graduating from CRM, I want to work in the nonprofit field and be of service to others.
I'm Penny Keevitt, Executive Director for the City Rescue Mission. Would you consider helping us make a difference as we provide hope, healing, and change to those who need it most? Visit us at crmjax.org. That's crmjax.org to learn more, or to make a donation to help transform the lives of the hungry, homeless, and addicted in Northeast Florida.
This is the Savage Nation.
Any man that I know is saying, if I have a son, I'm worried about my son in this society. Every young man is now potentially going to be accused of rape for looking at a woman the wrong way, is what they're saying. And I am telling you that this is what's happening. They also say to me this is a design on the part of radicals in this society who want to destroy man and woman.
Michael Savage, a host like no other.
The Savage Nation on Talk Radio, AM 600 and 101.1 FM, WBOB.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville. Welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. Joining me in the studio tonight. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. I'm hearing in my ear from Master Control. Bill, could you give us an update on the Georgia Bulldogs game? Yes, I can. It's 34-10. Georgia leading over the Gamecocks. And Holly, what do you think about that? Right around the corner.
Not a big Georgia dog.
17th of October, 2 days after my birthday. Big game right here in town. You guys going to show up? Yeah, okay. That's the Florida-Georgia game, folks. Big game here in town. Anyway, going to break, we talked about flashing back in time, and So we'll go back now and we'll say, Sheriff Rutherford, what's going on in our town?
Well, listen, I will tell you the same thing that's going on at the national level, and which is why I'm glad to be back in the fight as a representative for Northeast Florida. You know, one of the bills that we were able to pass in D.C. is the you know, we have about 50 bills dealing with opioids, because it is a scourge on not just Jacksonville, but the entire country. We've committed $4 billion to addressing that issue, and not just fighting, you know, the traffickers, but also providing treatment for the folks who are getting addicted through, you know, somebody goes in for a back operation. 2 months later, they're addicted to an opioid. And that is what we have to change. And it's changing within VA, I can tell you, because in the VA hospitals now, we're no longer looking for pain-free care for our patients. We're looking for pain-tolerable. And so getting away from this idea, look, if you go in and you get your chest cracked and you're going to have a heart operation, there's going to be pain. You need to understand that going in. Don't lie to people and tell them there's not going to be any pain, and then, you know, load them up on opioids. Well, there's going to be a little pain. But, you know, so we're addressing the opioid issue in a big way in Washington. We're also, we also passed FOSTA, the Fighting Online Sex Trade Act, which is huge. In fact, Jacksonville, I was very proud to see. I just read a brief piece on it. I was it 14 or 15?
17.
People? Yeah, 17.
17. They just picked up on that. On that operation, and of course, you know, that was oddly enough, that was one of the last operations that I was involved in as sheriff. Was I actually told him, I said, I want to go to the scene and I want to make an arrest. I want to make my final arrest, and it was one of the sex traffickers.
So I guess let me spin over here now, Councilwoman Roche. If, and we haven't gotten to really bringing you into the conversation yet, but let's say you were hypothetically, you were at the upper levels of administration here, maybe at the utmost level of the administration here in the local Duval County area, what would you want to see from someone like Congressman Rutherford or someone like Sheriff Rutherford as far as what we're dealing with now in Crown?
Well, ironically, thank you for having me, Bill. Ironically, I remember when I was running for office to serve on city council and had the opportunity to sit down with Sheriff Rutherford, who gave me a great education on the fact that we had suffered quite a bit in terms of sworn officers on the streets. And so we have, as a city, made some investments in the enforcement side of things and making sure that we get those numbers back up to the national averages. At the same time, there's got to be some investment in the prevention and intervention side of thing, or we're going to find ourselves falling behind on the investment and the enforcement side. So the reality is that we do have a gang issue. We have a culture of violence, and we've got to invest in a lot of different angles in making sure that we're also seriously addressing, after many, many years of underinvestment, what the sheriff knows about.
Right.
In the prevention and intervention side of things.
If you remember, we used to talk a lot about the pie, the prevention, the intervention, and then the enforcement. And if you don't do it, you got to throw the whole pie at this problem. Now, let me tell you, I'm very encouraged by what the city council and the mayor have done in supporting Sheriff Williams by putting those billets out there for those officers. I think 180 now.
Mm-hmm.
You know, here's the challenge. The media called me sometime back and asked, you know, what do you attribute this increase in violence? And I said, look, we cut 92 CSOs and we cut 147 police under the Alvin Brown administration. I said, now, and they said, well, oh, Sheriff, how long are we going to blame Alvin for this? I said, look, it's not just because he's gone. The damage that was done is still there. Those 147 officers are not back out on the street yet. It takes time to bring those on, particularly when you realize that we were losing about 3.5 officers a month to retirement and just, you know, natural attrition
And a lot were worried about the PFPF. They didn't know if they were going to have a good retirement plan or whether or not it was going to even be enjoyable to come here and work.
Exactly. And that actually kicked up the numbers a little bit. So not only do you have to bring back, you know, the 180 that the mayor and the city council wisely gave to the sheriff, not only does he have to bring those guys on, he's got to bring on another, because that's going to take about 4 years. That's another 160, because if we're losing about 40 officers a year, that's another 160 on top of that 180. So now you're talking about, you know, 340 officers in 4 years, not 180. And so until those officers are back on the street, we're going to have this challenge. And here's why it's so important. JSO, on the enforcement side, uses this model of intelligence-led policing. And quite frankly, we do it the best of, I think, anybody in the country. But what that requires is you have to have those resources. When you see those density maps every 2 weeks, like the sheriff does, and you see crime starting to go up, you see pink starting to show in an area, if you have the resources to immediately send somebody to that location and have them start working on and trying to find out what the issues are in that little area of the community, then you can stop the murders from occurring. But if you have to wait 3 or 4 weeks to be able to break somebody loose to send them to that area, now it's bright red and you've already had 2 or 3 murders. You know, now you're trying to play catch up.
We've had several generations of young people, especially in the north side areas, that have not found work. Their fathers, if they even know them, haven't found work. They're living in a depressed and blighted environment. I guess I'll ask both of you. In fact, let me ask you one at a time. Councilwoman Brochet, at what age do we give up on somebody?
Oh, my goodness. I can't imagine even naming an age. Mm-hmm. You know, we can't give up on our kids, and we can't give up on anybody in the community.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So a 16-year-old who's making $200 or $300 a day selling Oxy on the street corner, we can turn him around and make him desire to work for a $15 or $15 an hour job.
Well, it's going to be more difficult, but I think you can. I agree with Anna. You don't give up at any age. However, I do think when we look at things like the Jacksonville Journey and the programs that we're in there, dealing with the issue up front, the prevention and the intervention piece, because that's how you stop them from becoming that dealer on the corner with wads of cash in his pocket. Now, one of the things that I think is incredibly important is the economy. You know, right now we have the best economy that I can certainly remember, the longest bull market. And here's why that's important. The GDP and the Tax Cuts Jobs Act, the Congressional Budget Office predicted for the next 10 years that would generate a 1.9% GDP growth. They horribly missed it. And I know they're supposed to be nonpartisan, but I didn't buy those. I didn't buy 1.9. The last report we had, 4.2?
Right, and they're looking at 4.6.
4.1, whatever, yeah.
4.6 coming in.
So now here's what's important about that. Every percentage point above that 1.9% that the CBO scored, every point above that is an extra $274 billion that we can then take to do the things that we need to do in this country, plussing up our military, the programs that you're talking about for prevention and intervention, this $4 billion that we put into the opioid problem. You know, that's where that funding can come from. But it also takes people off the street and puts them in a job. Nothing fights crime like a good job.
Right.
And so that's why, you know, I was so proud to be a part of that Tax Cuts and Jobs Act, because it is really turning around this economy. And I think in the long run, that will help fight opioid addiction. It'll do a lot of things for this country.
Well, I've got the board over here just getting ready to flash up for me. So I'll say congressman/sheriff/friend. John Rutherford, in the last minute here, I guess, tell me what you've got going forward in the future, and how can your constituents reach you if they want to reach out to you by email or webpage?
Yeah, they can go to our site. I've got a local...
AM 600, 101.1 FM, WBOB.
With SRN News, I'm Greg Clugston in Washington. Tropical Storm Florence has claimed at least 11 lives. That's the latest word from officials in North and South Carolina, which is being drenched by heavy rainfall and storm surge. The Marines, the Coast Guard, civilian crews, and volunteers have been using helicopters, boats, and heavy-duty vehicles all day long to rescue scores of people trapped by rising waters. Mississippi State Police Agency says it will no longer buy Nike products. It's the latest dust-up following Nike's decision to use former NFL quarterback Colin Kaepernick in an ad campaign. Kaepernick ignited a firestorm in 2016 when he began kneeling during the national anthem to protest police brutality and social injustice. Mississippi's public safety commissioner says he won't spend money with vendors who do not support law enforcement and our military.
Make excellent happen. Only at New Balance can you get athletic footwear, apparel, and accessories with highly trained New Balance fit specialists to make sure everything is exactly right. If you're having a hard time finding comfortable shoes or have a hard-to-fit size, your answer is at the New Balance store. New Balance in Orange Park and Beach Boulevard features full-service sit-and-fit locations. Both New Balance stores have a full stock of running, walking, baseball, cross-training, and tennis shoes. You'll find sizes 5 to 18, widths AA, B, D, EE, 4E, 6E, plus orthotic arch supports. New Balance's state-of-the-art computerized foot scanner gets the right fit every time. Make excellent happen at either New Balance store. 10,095 Beach Boulevard, open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 6. Call 620-0483 or at 1871 Wells Road across from the Orange Park Mall. Open Monday through Saturday, 10 till 8. Call 592-7892. New Balance, athletic footwear and apparel for all ages.
Here's your community calendar from WBOB.
Thursday, September 20th from 5 to 9 p.m. It's the North Beach Art Walk at the Beaches Town Center on 1st Street in Neptune Beach. Friday, September 21st at 8 p.m. It's country star Leanne Womack at the Ponte Vedra Concert Hall in Ponte Vedra Beach. And Friday, September 21st and Saturday, September 22nd at 8 p.m., the Jacksonville Symphony presents the music of John Williams at the Jacoby Symphony Hall in downtown Jacksonville.
For more information or to have your event included, visit WBOB.com.
Leave the summertime cooking to the Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, just west of 295. Dine in, drive through, or use Uber Eats. The Original Kronos Gyros, shrimp, fish, oysters, wings, and more. The Original Tunis can cater any occasion. 317-9300. And talk with Z, the owner and founder. Ask him how your church or civic group can use the Original Tunis Restaurant for your next fundraiser. The Original Tunis Restaurant, 7400 103rd Street, open 7 days a week. Come meet Z, the founder.
WBOB tackles the issues.
When I look at some of these mass shootings that have happened in the past, a lot of these teachers had to sacrifice themselves to protect their students. Well, why not put them in the best position to fight back?
Every day.
Federal district judge in California expanded the ruling to say that even accompanied children can't be held for more than 20 days. I don't see how they can unless Congress gets its act together and passes legislation.
WBOB, your 2018 election authority. How will the weather affect you? WBOB Weather.
The forecast for Jacksonville and the beaches. Tonight, cloudy, a chance of showers dropping to the mid-70s. Sunny tomorrow and Monday, a 4 in 10 chance of rain both days, mid-90s. But the heat index will be at 106. Tuesday through Friday, partly sunny days, a chance of showers and 93. Cloudy nights and down to 75. 91. Right now, some light rain on the First Coast and 79. You're at Talk Radio WBOB.
Hey. Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jacksonville, and welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. I'm your host, Bill Hay, and joining me in the studio, of course, is my producer, Holly Lowe. You'll hear her a little bit more on the mic coming up in the 7 and 8 o'clock hour. And then, of course, Tom's over there making us sound good on 222-TALK, 222-8255. He'll be the first voice you'll hear when you call in. Councilwoman Anna Brochet, now hot on the mic and willing to answer some questions starting. And I'll lay this out in advance. because you've been in here a few times. Every time I always ask you the same question, so I'm not going to ask you that question tonight. Just not going to. Okay. Put it right there on the table. I'm not going to ask you. But I will say that a lot of my questions will be on the line of hypothetically. So we talked with Congressman Rutherford when he was in here, and you know, he mentioned pie, and that's an excellent analogy.
Is. It really is.
Prevention, intervention, and enforcement. So given the opportunity, hypothetically, if you were in another position within city government, how do we address the? I mean, it's bad. I mean, there's always going to be people breaking into cars. It's always going to be some idiot who thinks that he can rob a bank and be the one half of 1% of anybody that gets away with it across the country. Look, if you're a criminal out there and you're listening to the sound of my voice, don't choose bank robbery. It's really, really not a good idea. You're going to get caught. I mean, the only person that's really gotten away with anything significant was D.B. Cooper, and he had to jump out of a plane at 400 miles an hour in order to get away. So just remember that there are cameras everywhere and ink cartridges and bags, and so don't even go there. Now, the other criminals that are out there that are driving by shooting little kids, that are setting up what they say was a fake robbery attempt that got out of hand, and others, how do we prevent that? If you were in charge, what would you do?
I think someone put it well when I was on a listening tour or some meetings recently, that kids want everyone. It's not just kids. Everyone wants to be a part of something. And when you're in those formative years and there is an opportunity to feel valued and a part of something, whether it's a program that our Kids Hope Alliance is putting on, or, you know, a lot of our service providers and partners in the community, or if those don't exist and you actually get that value and you're a part of something and you feel like you're part of a brotherhood or a connection in a gang, then that's what you're going to respond to and move down the wrong path. And so I think the congressman put it really, really well, that you have to throw the entire pie at it and not lean too heavily on one piece of that pie. And that's what I think that we've been doing. We've been catching up because, boy, our men and women need the resources to kind of cover 840 square miles. Yet at the same time, we've, after many, many years of underinvestment in all of those categories of the pie, we've really got to be serious about the prevention and intervention side of things.
You know, I have been blessed to have grown up in this town. My father was born and raised in this town. My grandfather spent the last 80 years of his life in this town, in the same house where I live today. And I have noticed that Jacksonville has always had areas of town that were underserved, that were under, I don't want to say underappreciated, but they were just, people just looked the other way and they said, oh, that's Gulf Air, or that's, you're not old enough. I know I've got quite a few years on you. You don't remember Blodgett housing, but you know, when I was a kid growing up, elementary school, junior high school, you didn't want to know kids that lived in Blodgett housing because they were just mean, because that's how they had to grow up in order to be able to survive living in Blodgett housing. That's the area at the end of what used to be Dead Man's Curve on Haines Street. So how do we bring up bad areas of town? I mean, we can throw hundreds of, and I say this as a personal comment, we just had the administration throw $50,000 at a problem. $50,000. That's like taking a Dixie cup and filling it full of water and throwing it on a forest fire. It's gone in the blink of an eye. It turns into steam, it vaporizes, and the fire keeps burning. How do we get the money? And how do we turn these areas around and give the folks that live there hope, and also give them a reason to not want to shelter a lot of the criminals that are constantly, it's the same people in many cases doing the same thing over and over again. Mm-hmm. So in your opinion, what do we do?
Well, we certainly want measurable, effective programs. And I know that we're aiming for that because we want to make sure that what we're doing is working. We've got a lot of great partners in the community who are addressing kids of all ages. And it's really also making sure that the city is strongly pursuing partnerships with others in the community and partnerships with our state and federal levels. We've got some grant funding coming through the Kids Hope Alliance, and we really need to be very focused on making sure that we leverage every resource that's possible.
When you recently you stepped down as president of the city council when your term ended, and for lack of a better word, you're back down to you're a normal city council person.
Yes.
Was it disappointing to you to see that so many of the things that you'd worked for just got swept under the rug?
You know, I know that we all have different priorities and we all have a different set of interests. And so I knew that June 30 was the point at which I needed to make my mark. And I know that there were folks in the community and certainly serving on some of those task forces that were interested in seeing some of the work continue. But such is life, and this is what we have, and we'll continue to find ways to make a difference. And
something that's always impressed me, and you came on the scene, and quite honestly, I had a phone conversation with you, excuse me, when we were scheduling you for the very first appearance, and Holly's used to me talking this way, but I'm sure the average person who gets on the phone with me doesn't understand when I say, you know what, I didn't like you very much, and that's what I said to you.
You did,
and then. And then you just completely turned my entire opinion of you around because you didn't play games with people. And for the first time, it was a breath of fresh air that there was someone who was really striving for transparency in government. Instead of having 19 elected gods and deities that meet every Tuesday and decide every other Tuesday and decide the fate of all us little minions, you actually brought it back down to the people. And transparency is a big thing for you.
It really is. And ultimately, this government is for the people, and I don't forget how I got here. It's the people that elected me and elected me to serve. And so I think that when trust in government is always going to struggle, for the very reasons that you just mentioned, yet it's our responsibility to contribute to making sure that we do things in a manner that involve the people, that when we're making changes to particular programs or work that's happening in the city, that we're involving the people that actually do the work and that we're not telling neighborhoods and certain groups what we think that they need. Because guess what? Those neighborhoods and the people in the communities, they know what they need.
Right.
And so it's really about listening and bringing the transparency that you mentioned of making sure that people have access to information and people.
I wanted to, you introduced an ordinance. It's public record now. It's going into committee, I guess.
Yes.
And it's all about transparency relative to lobbyists and private jets and yachts and influencing and contract awards and things of that nature. How do you feel about that? Are you getting any comments back from your colleagues, or is it too soon to tell?
It's too soon. It's going to be going into committee pretty soon. And it's really about making sure it's not saying that particular behaviors or things can't happen. It's really more about disclosure and bringing transparency to what's happening in government so people understand. So I'll get some feedback in the legislative process, in the committee process, and I'm certainly open to strengthening or amendments or an understanding how people think or making sure that we're considering. I think when people ask questions, when my colleagues ask questions and bring information to the table, I've thrown something out there and they can help me make it better. But at the start, what we have is really a disclosure of campaign contributions for people wanting to do business with the city in contracts over $1 million. To the extent that city or elected officials ride on private aircraft with a lobbyist, that there's disclosure of that. And then also making sure that we're disclosing text messages and emails with lobbyists on the public record.
As a private citizen, that just seems like a no-brainer to me. It seems like that should have 19 yays and none opposed. You would be the 19th. But,
right.
I mean, that just makes perfect sense that people should be able to tell who's getting rides on private jets, who's possibly trying to influence elections. We talk about the Russians influence the presidential election. Well, how do we know that campaign donations didn't influence who gets the job at the Metro Park or who gets the new contract for solid waste services? You're listening to I'm Speaking Plainly. Councilwoman Anna Brochet joining me in the studio. She'll be back in just a couple of minutes as soon as we provide you guys with some messages. Phone lines are open, 222-TALK, 222-8255.
Does your furnace need repair, your house need cleaning, or maybe you're ready to update your kitchen? Big or small, whatever your home improvement need, log on to handyman.homeadvisor.com. HomeAdvisor is a free online resource with instant access to top-rated remodelers, maids, handymen, roofers, and many other home contractors. It's easy and it's free. Just go to handyman.homeadvisor.com, handyman.homeadvisor.com. That's handyman.homeadvisor.com.
Good news. You are not stuck with your healthcare plan. Really, you have a choice, and it's a great one. It's called MediShare, and if you've heard about it and wondered what exactly it is, it's a way that people share their healthcare bills. And these are people who have a common faith, who want to be part of something beautiful that not only meets their healthcare needs, but the needs of others too. And it's people who love to save money big time. MediShare members typically save $500 a month per family on their healthcare costs. That is a life changer for people. So this could be for you. Maybe it's what you've been looking for, a way to pay healthcare bills that's not only very smart financially, but it's even profound. MediShare is a nonprofit with 400,000 members nationwide who pray for and share with each other. So yes, you're not stuck. There's another way, and it could save you a lot. Find out more. Call 877-64-BIBLE. That's 877-64-BIBLE, 877-64-BIBLE.
My name is Amanda, and I am in the Life Builders Recovery Program at City Rescue Mission. I've allowed alcohol to take my career, my family, and my faith from me. I was also sexually abused and became depressed, even suicidal. It was those suicidal thoughts that became my wake-up call. I was referred to CRM by another facility that told me I needed a longer-term recovery program. A God-centered program and the counselors at CRM have given me the freedom and the willingness to open up. I no longer see myself as an alcoholic. I see myself as a child of God. I know that I am worthy of love and that I can do all things through Christ. After graduating from CRM, I want to work in the nonprofit field and be of service to others.
I'm Penny Kievit, Executive Director for the City Rescue Mission. Would you consider helping us make a difference as we provide hope, healing, and change to those who need it most? Visit us at crmjax.org. That's crmjax.org to learn more, or to make a donation to help transform the lives of the hungry, homeless, and addicted in Northeast Florida.
Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, president of Conservative Theological University, invites you to expand your biblical knowledge and earn your certified AA through PhD degree with CTU. If you're considering ministry or if you're already serving in ministry, you should consider completing your studies with CTU, located at 12021 Old St. Augustine Road, Jacksonville, in the Mandarin community. Call 1-800-GO-BIBLE for your interview appointment today.
Does rainy weather make you nervous? Alliant Roofing says that it's time to think about a new roof. Get repairs done or ask about a roof tune-up. Once water seeps into the roof, you have a great chance of costly repairs and mold leading to health issues. Mason Fleming at Alliant Roofing has over 30 years of experience specializing in commercial and residential type roof systems. Call for a free estimate at 237-4700 or 721-7663. Alliant Roofing, Florida State Certified Roofing License CCC 132-8560, Florida State Certified Builder's License CBC 125-7928.
Let's get back to I'm Speaking Plainly.
What you got to say?
To join the conversation, call 222-TALK.
Say, hey, hey, hey.
That's 222-8255.
What you got to say?
Once again, here's Bill Hay.
Good evening, Jackson. Well, welcome back to I'm Speaking Plainly. We got for another 11 minutes here. Councilwoman Anna Brochet has joined us in the studio, talking about some of the issues that are plaguing us here in Jacksonville. Shootings, drive-bys, the drug problem. Now, recently stepping back into your position as councilwoman, throwing up this transparency issue, I have to look at your face to see how big your eyes get when I ask you this question and whether or not your husband draws out his gun and preparing to shoot me. But do you believe, is the JEA deal just sleeping and they're waiting for us to not pay attention, or is that over now?
Oh, I think it's sleeping.
Okay.
Yeah, I think it's sleeping. I think it's coming back. And, you know, we have an opportunity to hear from a couple of outside folks who were doing some value reports to answer some of those questions in terms of understanding what JEA means to the community. But yeah, I think you're going to see it in the future, and it's come up multiple times in the past. So
it's such a shame. You know, I liken it to having multiple cars, but only one of them's really running well, and that's the one you want to sell.
Mm-hmm.
It just doesn't make sense. It just doesn't make sense unless somebody's looking for money to be able to play ball, you know, in the future. And we'll leave that at that. We'll just leave that there. But I am, on one hand, disappointed that it might come back up again. I think it's something we need to think long and hard about before we ever turn any piece of that loose to the private sector and out of our control. That's my two cents worth. In the last few minutes here, I guess I've been monopolizing everything, but what are your plans now going through in March and in the last few months of this particular term as councilwoman?
So the transparency bill that I introduced is really potentially just the beginning of continuing to do more in the transparency space. We had the Task Force on Open Government finish their work at the end of June, and some of these recommendations that are in this piece of legislation are from those recommendations. But I've gotten there are more recommendations in there, and I continue to receive feedback from the community in terms of things that could stand to have more transparency. So transparency is going to be key.
Do you see Jacksonville as a micro swamp? We talk about the swamp in Washington. Is Jacksonville kind of a micro swamp?
You know, I hear that. You know, people definitely, you know, feel that way. So I can't disagree.
We have Carla as an ethics officer, and we have city council folks removed and now under federal indictment. We have others that may or may not be in trouble in the future. I'm sure this is not the body that you wanted to be elected into, and you're doing really good work on the transparency issues. How do we regain, or how does the city council regain the respect and the admiration of the general public?
Well, I'm going to end up coming back to the space of transparency and the entire reason why I put the task force together to begin with, to do work of really listening to the community and understanding how is it that we can involve them and provide information in a more accessible and understandable way. We were looking on the website today trying to find some past budget information and links to different things, and you know, a lot of those links weren't correct and some were broken, if I remember correctly. And so there's a lot of information there to get out, and it's a really big deal. And yet there's an opportunity to make sure that we're doing that in a way that people can really connect to what they are interested
in. You know,
seeing.
I make contact with people out at Walmart or Target or Publix, wherever I happen to be, if I'm wearing one of these shirts and they happen to be a listener. I'm overwhelmed a lot of times at the number of people that do actually listen every Saturday. I'm completely and totally overwhelmed. In the back of my mind, we've got 30 people out there somewhere scattered all over North Florida that are listening, and that's not the case. There's a lot of folks that for some reason or another find Saturday night from 6 to 9 a time that they want to be on terrestrial radio rather than Sirius XM or surfing the internet or whatever, and they say on a regular basis that they don't feel like they can reach out and talk with their elected officials,
mm-hmm.
that they don't have enough money to make it worthwhile for a city council person to pick up the phone and talk to them. They didn't make a campaign donation, so why would they want to listen to me? That's the general feeling of the public. How long would it take to break that feeling?
Well, you know, it's because they care. It's because they care. They're listening here because they care about their community. And there's a desire to make a difference. People have great ideas about things that need to change and about things that are happening. And how long would it take? Boy, I mean, there's a lot going on. You know, I receive lots of communication from folks. I have an assistant that tries to respond to and get back to a lot of the concerns that we receive with respect to specific issues that are happening in neighborhoods. But it's really how can we utilize technology in a way that people can be a part of the process and get a response quickly and something that's meaningful, because at times by the time it comes to my phone or my desk or my email, people are frustrated because they've been trying through those systems and been unsuccessful in getting responses to when work might be happening or when a pothole is going to be fixed. And so there's a lot of ground to cover in Jacksonville, and we've got to do better.
It just it's easy to believe, and I had it related to me a couple of times. This is going back a year or so. I did a show, and we talked. I was talking with folks like you. Might have been some other elected official, and I remember having a young lady message me on the page and ask me if I could write her back, and she was shocked when I said, "Well, here's my phone number. Just call me. I don't like text messaging. I hate the new millennial stuff." And I called her, and she was just, she says, "Bill, you know, we don't get a chance to talk to people like you do. They don't, when we dial into their phone number, we can't say, this is Bill. Hey, can you call me back?" And that really made me think about how blessed I am that I can pick up the phone and call your assistant, ask her if you want to come on the air, or Congressman Rutherford. I happen to have his cell phone. I can call him. You know, there's a roughly about a million people out there in Duval County that don't have that ability, give or take a few handfuls, like Shad Khan, who probably has keys to most of people's houses. That's just my opinion. Sorry, I didn't mean to go down that road. But that's something that people strive for. They want to be able to know, like you said, that they can get an answer back in a kind of a timely manner.
Yeah. You know, I'll have an example of in my neighborhood, you know, a pothole developed, and, you know, trying to be of service, submitted that in the system to go ahead and put it in the queue of needing to be fixed, and was really shocked to hear that the earliest time that could be addressed was October of 2019.
Wow. Yeah.
And so I can understand the frustration because there's, again, a lot of ground to cover, but October of 19
doesn't seem right.
Seems pretty far away.
Here's another story. Richard Nunn, one of my really good friends, lives on a street in San Jose. And there was a leaking city water pipe. City water, paid water, water that costs money to make. And it was leaking at a trickle enough to where there was a stream running down the road for over 2.5 years. People complained. People called in. They wanted the pipe fixed. It was just a little trickle, a little stream, but it was causing the concrete to turn orange. It was causing all sorts of wetness and garbage in this one lady's yard. 2.5 years to get fixed. Now imagine how many thousands of gallons of water. But the city's response was, we would have spent more money that we didn't have to dig up the entire street to find the leak and fix it, then we lost in the free flow of water. That's how they justified it. Mm-hmm. And so, like you said, it's really disheartening sometimes to see the backlog. Now, I know the city's got a lot of work to do, but does this mean that we're not putting the right money in the right areas? Because I don't know if you agree or not, but city government, their responsibility is protection of the citizens with fire and police.
Yes.
Infrastructure, streets and highways,
right.
Sewers. You know, that's where their focus is. I've talked through the last bit. 45 seconds real quick. Where can people reach you, and when can we see you again?
Sure. My office number is 630-1393. And my email address, go on coj.net and look for city council, or search for city council. You'll find me amongst my other council members. It's A. Brochet.